When I was a child, we lived in a house where paranormal activity was constantly occurring. I not only heard footsteps in the middle of the night going up and down the stairs near my bedroom, but there was actually some sort of demonic entity which would manifest in my bedroom there in the middle of the night. It was very, very scary. I was constantly making the midnight run to my parents' room for fear of that evil entity that would somehow appear between my bed and the wall, which, you know, there was no space for. And so I knew there was something wrong. And you know, my parents at first, they thought I was making up scary stories because they just thought I was afraid of the dark and trying to make up an excuse, you know, for why, I was afraid of the dark. And so in order to solve the problem, my parents actually bought me a nightlight, which was shaped like Jesus. It was a Jesus nightlight. And they thought, well, this will help. You know, it's a Jesus nightlight, so it'll probably be more powerful than the rest of the nightlights. Unfortunately, the green glow of that little Jesus nightlight, it was unable to stop the evil spirit that was actually haunting our home. And the reason why is because that nightlight, well, it wasn't actually producing the light of the Lord. It was producing some light, but it wasn't the light of the Lord. You see, the light of the Lord doesn't need electricity. No, the light of the Lord is powerful. As you might imagine, the paranormal activity continued to increase after that nightlight was plugged in because I guess, you know, there was some disdain of that evil spirit for a Jesus nightlight. And it got so bad that my parents finally realized that this is actually happening. This is actually taking place in our house. We had evil spirits who were terrorizing me in the middle of the night. And thankfully, they ended up inviting the pastor of our church to come and pray over our house. And I'm so glad that that pastor was truly walking in the light of the Lord, because when that spirit-filled pastor came over and prayed over our house, you know, our house was cleansed. The evil spirit, left the house and stopped, you know, bothering me in the middle of the night. And in this, I saw as a young kid the power of the true light of the Lord. That little Jesus nightlight, it did nothing. But this pastor who was truly walking in the light of the Lord had power over that evil entity. And with that, I'd like to consider this morning the incredible light of the Lord that is provided to those who trust in him. And as we make our way through our text today, we find the Lord Jesus actually helping his audience to understand that those who truly trust in him were provided with the light of the Lord, and then we're called to then walk in the light of the Lord. And as we study the scriptures before us this morning, we'll begin to see, first of all, that the light of the Lord, it helps us to share our faith. Secondly, we'll see that the light of the Lord helps us to shift our focus. And then thirdly and finally, we'll see that the light of the Lord helps us to shun our flesh. And with this as the outline, let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Here we find the Lord Jesus. He's encouraging people to now walk in the light of the Lord. Now, as you're making your way to the 11th chapter of Luke's gospel account, I just want to take a moment to put our text back into its context. It'll first help us to remember that the Lord Jesus was actually making his way to Jerusalem. And the reason why, it's due to the fact that the time had come for him to offer himself as a sacrifice for our sins. And as he made his way to Jerusalem, he took the time to minister to the people that he met all along the way. And it's here in our text today where we find Jesus now encouraging his audience to recognize and walk in the spiritual light of the Lord. Now, with this as the focus, if you would, let's turn our attention to Luke chapter 11. We'll pick up our study beginning at verse 33. Here Jesus declares, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light." Now, here in our text today, we find the Lord Jesus, he's helping his audience to understand how important it is for us to live in the light of the Lord. We've been called to live in the light of the Lord. And just to be clear, it'll help you to know that the word light, which is found here in these verses, many times it's translated from a few variations of the same Greek word, phos. And the Greek word phos was used of anything that emits light, like a fire or a lamp or a star, anything that emits light. That would be referred to, the light is actually called phos in the Greek. The same Greek word was also used to describe the brightness or the emanating rays of illumination that shine forth from the source that's manifesting the light. And so he's talking about these rays of light or the brightness of a lamp. And not only that, but the Greek word phos was also used in reference to the divine light of the Lord. As a matter of fact, it's actually in 1 John chapter 1 where the apostle John used the same Greek word when he declared, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. In James chapter 1, James described God as the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul informs us that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is dwelling in unapproachable light. From this, we can see then that the creator of light also dwells in unapproachable light, which is now emanating from his holiness. And while it's true that it's impossible for sinners to approach the glorious light of the Lord while we're still in our sins, it's also true that God the Father decided to send his only begotten Son so that we could have the spiritual light that we need. This was precisely the point that the Lord Jesus was making in John chapter 8. It's there where he declares, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now, just to be clear, it's important to realize that the Lord isn't suggesting that he is the sun up in the sky, but rather he is the Son of God and the spiritual light of the world. Jesus was sent to provide us with the spiritual light that we need so that we can walk in the truth. Now, in order for us to further grasp the way that Jesus has provided us with the spiritual light that we need, we ought to consider something that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. If you would hold your place here in the Gospel of Luke, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. See, it's here in the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians where we find Paul. He's actually helping the Christians there at the church in Corinth to understand that the light of the Lord, which was revealed in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, is now emanating forth from the gospel message by which sinners can be saved. And so while the Lord Jesus has ascended to the throne room there in heaven, he's left behind this light of the gospel. And let's consider how Paul puts it here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to begin reading at verse 3 where Paul declares, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Here in these verses, we find Paul referring to this glorious light that emanates from the gospel message of Jesus Christ. There is this light of the knowledge of the glory of God, which is emanating from the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is found in the gospel message. As a matter of fact, it's there in verse 6 where he elaborates on this glorious light by describing it as the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. We're talking about the illumination of information, if you will. See, the gospel message is able to provide us with the light that we need so that sinners can see their need for Christ Jesus. At the same time, it's also important for us to understand that the Lord has called every Christian to take the light that we've received and to allow it to shine forth from our lives so that we can help others around us, the unbelievers that we know, to be able to see this light of the Lord in our lives. In order to prove my point, let's consider the way that Christ Jesus puts it back in the book of Luke. Let's make our way back to Luke chapter 11. Here we find our Savior encouraging every Christian now to become those believers who are allowing the glorious light of the Lord to emanate from our lives. Look with me again there at Luke 11 verse 33. Here again, Jesus declares, no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. And we find the Lord Jesus presenting the people with a simple statement of fact. To put it in more modern terminology, listen, no one turns on a flashlight and then buries the flashlight under some blankets. What would be the point? You don't turn on a flashlight and then bury it. If you go to the trouble of turning on a flashlight, it's because you plan to use it to light up the room. And in a similar yet spiritual way, those who have embraced the light of the Lord ought to make sure that we're shining forth the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. If you've received the light of the Lord, why would you then turn around and hide that light that you've received from others who need it? I like the way that the Lord Jesus put it in Matthew chapter 5. There he declares, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Without debate, the Lord Jesus is calling every Christian to engage in the sort of works which will help others to see the light of the Lord in the way that we're living our lives. And when it comes to the unbelievers around us, the best way for us to shine the light of the Lord so that all can see, well, it's by simply sharing our faith. You know, there are those who say, "Well, I'll just let people see the Jesus in me as I go to work and as I do these things. And, you know, I'll just live a good life so that people can just see Jesus in me." Be careful with that, because, you know, there's a lot of people who do a lot of nice things and a lot of people that do a lot of nice things in the name of some other God. No, we ought to be sharing our faith with explicit information. When we share the testimony of the way that we've been saved by faith in Jesus Christ, we're shining forth the light of the Lord. We're helping them to see their need for the Lord Jesus Christ in the way that we've received it. And listen, whenever we share the testimony of our salvation, we ought to make sure that we're also presenting the gospel message of grace. Now, with this as the goal, we should take a moment to ask, well, what is this gospel message of grace? What is the message that we're supposed to proclaim? Well, in order to answer this question, I want to consider the summation that Paul presented in his letter to the church in Corinth. If you would hold your place here in the Gospel of Luke, and let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As you make your way to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I just want to take a moment to point out that the word gospel actually means good news, and this, of course, is the good news by which sinners can be saved. And there's a lot of people who are nervous about sharing the gospel message because they're not really sure, you know, what to say. Well, how did you get saved? What was the message that you heard when you placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you can't remember, then, well, let's just consider the way that Paul sums it up here in 1 Corinthians 15, which will help us to see how simple it is to share the gospel of grace. Look with me there, beginning at verse 1. Here, Paul declares, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, here in these verses, we find Paul, he's summing up the gospel message with three main points. First of all, Christ, Jesus, he died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now that is an envelope that you can open up and drill down into the fullness of Scripture and find out all these specific details about Christ's death. But you can also just keep it simple by summing it up that Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, which is to say that he died on the cross with hands and feet pierced, just as the prophecies foretold. Secondly, Paul informs us that Christ was buried. In other words, there's proof that he really did die. The people who say, "Well, maybe he just kind of passed out on the cross and came back to No. He was buried. He was wrapped up and put in a tomb. Thirdly, Paul informs us that Christ Jesus rose again, alive on the third day. according to the prophetic promises that we find in the scriptures. Again, a lot of scriptures that you can drill down into to go and find all the prophecies that point to the resurrection of our Savior. But to simplify it, Jesus rose on the third day. According to Paul, this is the basic summary of the gospel by which unbelievers can be saved. Unbelievers can be saved by believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that he was buried in the tomb, and then he rose from the grave on the third day. That seems like a pretty simple message for us to remember and share. And so let's not use the excuse that, I just don't know what to say. Yeah, it's right there, 1 Corinthians 15. Just say that. Jesus died on the cross. He was buried in the tomb, and he rose from the grave on the third day. Praise the Lord. The gospel message is so simple for us to share. At the same time, we must not forget that those who proclaim the gospel of grace are actually shining the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And it's this light that emanates from the gospel message of God's grace. While it's true, it's simple, and yet it's powerful. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. This light that emanates from the gospel message of God's grace opens the eyes of those who are still suffering from spiritual blindness. And what this means then is that believers, we actually become the light of the world as we go out and share our faith by presenting people with the gospel of grace. And so we see then that the light of the Lord actually helps us to learn how to share our faith with others. And not only that, but the light of the Lord also helps us to shift our focus. And with this as our focus, let's make our way back to Luke chapter 11 so that we can consider this second point. I want to consider this encouragement that Jesus is presenting as he directs his disciples to continue living in the light of the Lord. Look with me there at verse 34. Here again, Jesus declares, "The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness." Now here in these verses, we find the Lord Jesus, he's helping his audience to understand that the lamp of the body is the eye. The lamp of the body is the eye. Now just to be clear about this, it'll help you to know that the word lamp is translated from a Greek word which was used of a portable lamp or a candle which is placed on a candlestick or a candelabra which can then be moved around the house. This lamp might be more comparable to the lanterns or the flashlights that many of us have in our homes. I'm guessing that we all have a few flashlights stashed away somewhere, ready for the electricity to go out. And I'm sure we all love the modern advantages of having homes that are illuminated with hardwired lighting. I mean, that is nice just to come home and flip on, you know, that switch and everything's lit up. But listen, I'm also confident that we all recognize our need for portable flashlights, especially after the freak winter storm that took place last February. Here alone in the city of Austin, nearly 40% of us lost power for several days. And I have no doubt that those who did were quick to locate the emergency flashlights. How many of us got to the drawer and found that flashlight and the batteries were dead? And it's like, ah. But I'm sure we all have a flashlight hidden somewhere in the house. And as we turn it on, you know, we enjoy the portable illumination as we make our way through the dark house. Unfortunately, most of our flashlights don't have enough lumens to actually light up the entire house, but the nice thing is that, you know, you can take them and focus them on a specific object or path that you're choosing to illuminate. And so you take this portable lamp and you light up everything that you need lit up. In similar fashion, our eyes also function as a source of illumination for our mind. And while we can't take everything in that, you know, all the information that is everywhere around the world, you can focus on specific things with your eyes. Much like a portable flashlight, which is able to illuminate the specific area where we aim the beam of light, we're also able to enlighten our minds by focusing our eyes on the specific things that we want to learn about. So you can go to the library, and you're never going to be able to look at all of the books in the library at the same time, but you can actually take one book down and start to learn as you focus in on that information. That being the case, those who focus their eyes on the light of the Lord will end up having a mind that is filled with light-based thoughts or holy thoughts. At the same time, Jesus is helping us to realize that those who focus their eyes on the darkness of this wicked world will end up with a mind that's filled with dark and evil thoughts. Let's consider again how Jesus puts it here in Luke chapter 11. Look with me there at verse 34. Here Luke, Jesus declares, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Now, as we consider again the point that Jesus here is making, it's important for us to understand that he really wasn't talking about good and bad eyes in a physical sense. You know, he's not suggesting that, you know, people with 20/20 vision can go to heaven, you know, but all the four eyes, sorry. That's not his point. That's not what he's saying here. No, he's speaking metaphorically about the effects of what we focus on. And according to the Lord, our bodies will end up being physically affected by the things we focus our eyes on. With this in mind, let's look again here in the middle of verse 34. Again, Jesus declares, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. Now, this word good could also be rendered singled. You don't have double vision. You have single vision. And in this sense, the original Greek word is being used of those, you know, who are able to keep their focus zeroed in and fixed on the good things that the Lord has for us. Those who are single-minded with a singular focus, and they take that focus and direct it to the light of the Lord, well, their whole body is full of light then. Those who spend their time focusing on the good things of God and not with the double vision of going back and forth between good, evil, these people enjoy the benefits that belong to those who are living in the light of the Lord. At the same time, though, those who begin to focus on the evil things of this world, they're also going to be affected by their faulty focus. Let's consider again how the Lord Jesus puts it here at the end of verse 34. Here again, he declares, when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Now, just to be clear about this, the word bad here, it's translated from a Greek word which was used of that which is wicked. It was also used in reference to the evil thoughts of those who are focusing on their malicious and mischievous desires. And according to the Lord, those who spend time focusing their mind's eye on all of their evil thoughts, they're going to be physically affected as they begin to pursue the evil desires that they're focusing on. And what this means is that we will always be physically affected by the things we spend our time focusing our attention on. That being the case, we should take some time to consider the encouragement that the Lord Jesus presented there in verse 35. There in verse 35, he declares, therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. Now, just to be clear, the phrase take heed, it's actually translated from the Greek word skopeo, which is actually the basis for our English word scope. And much like our English word scope, the Greek word skopeo was used of that which we are focusing on. You know, when we take a microscope or a telescope, you know, we're trying to look at something through that scope. And so Jesus is saying, hey, take heed or have the right scope so that you can make sure that what you're looking at isn't causing you your body to be filled with dark thoughts. Jesus is encouraging his audience to make sure that they're fixing their focus on those things that will fill our lives with the light of the Lord. And the reason why is because our entire being is going to be affected by the things that we focus on, for good or bad. And you know what they say, evil in, evil out. In order to prove my point, I want to consider the encouragement that Paul presented in his letter to the church in Philippi. If you would hold your place here in the Gospel of Luke, and let's turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. As you make your way to the fourth chapter of Philippians, I just want to take a moment to point out that there is research that has revealed that those who are constantly watching negative news sources could begin to suffer from PTSD, they can suffer from anxiety, they can suffer from depression, or somatization, which actually refers to the physical signs of distress in the body. In other words, someone can be physically affected by watching negative things all the time. It can actually affect you physically. Overexposure to negative news can create levels of emotional stress that will begin to affect us physically. Not only that, but a group of researchers at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine have revealed that the teenagers who spend more time listening to secular music have an 80% higher risk of developing a major depressive disorder than the rest of their peers. Yeah, I wonder why so many of our kids are so depressed. Chances are it's because of the music that they're listening to. It's depressing. Not only that, but another group of researchers at the same university have discovered a significant association between social media use and depression. That's right, the more time we spend on social media, the more likely we are to be depressed. It's for this reason that we would all do well to focus our eyes on those things that fill our minds with the light of the Lord. Let's consider how Paul puts it here in Philippians chapter 4. Look with me there, beginning at verse 8. Here Paul declares, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learn and receive and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Christian, listen, those who will meditate their minds or fix their focus on those things that are true, those things that are noble and pure and lovely, the people who will meditate on these things will also experience the physical benefits that belong to those who are living in the light of the Lord. And listen, those who will fix their focus on those things that are good and virtuous and praiseworthy, these people will also rejoice as their emotional anxieties melt away and are replaced by the perfect peace which is provided to those who are filled with the light of the Lord. If you focus your eyes and ultimately your mind's eye on those things that are evil, then don't be surprised when you're always anxious. Don't be surprised when you're always stressed out and when you're always bummed out. Why? Because that's what you've been looking at. That's what you've been focusing on. You didn't think that was going to affect you physically? Well, Jesus says it will. But those who will focus their attention on the good things of God's word, they will be filled with the light of the Lord. I like the way that the prophet Isaiah put it in Isaiah chapter 26. There he worshiped the Lord by declaring, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Christian, listen, if you want to enjoy the perfect peace of God, and you have to make sure that your focus is fixed on the light of the Lord. And one of the best ways to do this is by using the checklist that Paul presents here in Philippians chapter 4. Before you take the time to focus your mind's eye on that news report or that secular song or that movie or that television show, which is all kinds of negative, just take a moment to consider the content that you're about to allow into your mind and ask yourself, is this true? Is this noble? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it good for me? Or is it only going to stress me out? If you're physically struggling with emotional stress and mental anxiety, then the chances are it's because you're spending way too much time focusing on all of the wicked things of this world. The best advice I can give you this morning is turn CNN off forever. Because they're trying to stress you out. And they're trying to get you back with their bad news. They want you freaking out every day so that you tune in, what's going on now? And it's no wonder why people are so depressed and so anxious, and it's just getting worse. Why? Because we're focusing on everything that's negative rather than just like, okay, Lord, my life is in your hands, and when you're done with me, bring me home, whatever happens, let's go. I encourage you to allow the light of the Lord to shift your focus. If you find yourself focusing in on all this negative news, shift your focus and focus your attention on the good things that we find in God's word. Let's meditate our minds on those things that are true and noble and just and pure and lovely and virtuous and praiseworthy and are of good report. And as we allow the light of the Lord to shift our focus to that which is good, well, then our body will be filled with the perfect peace of God. Now, this brings us to our third and final point, because listen, the light of the Lord will not only help us to share our faith with unbelievers, and the light of the Lord will not only help us to shift our focus to that which is good, but the light of the Lord will also help us to shun the sins that are found in our own fleshly desires. And in order to explain what I mean by this, let's make our way back to Luke chapter 11. I want to continue to consider the encouragement that Jesus was presenting, you know, as he was directing his disciples to live in the light of the Lord. If you would look with me once again at verse 36, here Jesus declares, "If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark," the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. Now here in this verse, we find the Lord Jesus helping his audience to realize that those who will fix their focus on the light of the Lord will begin to receive the inner illumination, which will help us to expose the very dark corners of our own carnal desires. In order to grasp this encouragement, it'll help you to know that the light of the Lord, you know, it's not only able to help us to focus our mind's eye on those things that are good, but the light of the Lord is also able to provide us with this inner illumination that we need to expose the deceptive desires that are found within our fallen flesh. Now, just to be clear, it's important to understand that I'm not referring to the flesh of the physical body. When I'm referring to flesh in this context, I'm not referring to the physical body. No, instead, I'm using the word flesh in reference to the sinful nature that we're all struggling with. In order to further grasp this use of the word flesh, I want to consider the way that Paul used the word in his letter to the church in Galatia. And with this as the focus, hold your place here in the Gospel of Luke, and let's turn in our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. See, it's here in the fifth chapter of Galatians where we find Paul. He's helping the Christians there in Galatia to begin identifying the depraved desires that we all find with the immaterial heart of our fallen flesh. And with this in mind, if you would look with me here at Galatians chapter 5, I want to draw your attention there to verse 16. Here Paul declares, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Here in these verses, we find Paul presenting us with this list of sinful lusts, which are found within our fallen flesh or our sinful nature. And whether you know it or not, we're all wrestling with these sinful desires to one degree or another. And yes, this includes Christians. You know, as you already know, I'm sure, you know, just because you become a Christian doesn't mean you don't struggle with sin anymore. Of course, we still struggle with sin because now the Spirit is fighting with the flesh and the flesh is fighting with the Spirit. Before, you were just carnal. There really wasn't that fight happening because you were spiritually dead. But then you become a Christian, all of a sudden there's a war raging within us as the Spirit is fighting against the flesh and the flesh is fighting against the Spirit. Listen, the born-again believer who has been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise will continue to struggle with the sinful desires that reside within the dark corners of our immaterial heart. And what's even worse is that we're struggling with a heart that is ready to deceive ourselves. We're struggling with the self-deception that Jeremiah described in the 17th chapter of his book, where he declares, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" You know someone who lies all the time? I'm sure we all have that friend that we know that the minute they open their mouth, they're lying. Your heart's worse. Your own heart will deceive you more often than that friend who always lies to you. When the prophet Jeremiah informs us that our heart is deceitful above all things, there's no hyperbole. Your heart is more deceptive than anything else in this world, because your heart will constantly try to get you to go back to your sinful nature and engage in those things that satisfy your flesh. Our minds will lead us down a path of self-deception as it leads us to pursue the sinful desires that are hidden within our hearts. And it's for this reason that Paul directed the disciples there in Galatia. He says, crucify your fallen flesh. Those who are Christ's ought to crucify their flesh. And we do this by denying our evil passions and our depraved desires. With this as the goal, let's turn our attention back to Luke chapter 11. I want to consider again what Jesus was saying there in verse 36. There again he declares, if then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. Now, as we take one last look at this verse, it's important for us to understand that this word light, which is found here in this verse, now, that word light was translated from a Greek word which was used of that which is composed of light and therefore transparent. You know, the lights in this room, there's rays that are emanating, and yet those rays are transparent. You can see through them. It's just lighting up what's actually in the room. That's this word here. The light that we're talking about is this transparent, luminous, it's not a substance. I don't even know how to explain it, but it's just the emanation of light. The same Greek word was used of those who have a bright, luminous character. What this means then is that those who are living in the light of the Lord, they begin to develop a bright, luminous character as the Lord helps us to begin shunning the depraved desires of the fallen flesh. And in contrast to this, I should remind you of a statement that Jesus made in John chapter 3. We studied it last week, but it'll help us to just revisit it very quickly. Jesus there says, everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. Those who want to practice evil hate the light. Those who are living for the lusts of their flesh typically hide the evil deeds that they're actually engaging in. Rather than allowing the light of the Lord to illuminate every area of their heart, these carnal Christians attempt to hide their depraved desires within the dark recesses of their heart, and as a result, there's no transparency in their life. There's no transparency. Why? Well, because they're too busy hiding things from people. You know, they want to come in and play Joe or Jane Christian at church with a big smile and pretend like everything's fine, when in reality, they're struggling with whatever it is they were doing last night that they would never want anyone to know about. Everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. They don't want their deeds exposed. And there are many backsliding believers, who are just trying to present a facade of faithfulness as they pretend to walk in the light, when in reality, no, they're hiding from the light. If this sounds like the situation that you've been struggling with, then it's my prayer that you will allow the light of the Lord to illuminate the dark recesses of your wicked heart so that you can begin to shun the sinful desires of your fallen flesh. This is something that we all should be doing. With this as the goal, I want to consider the encouragement that Paul presented to the church in Ephesus. If you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, and as you make your way to the fifth chapter of Ephesians, I want to take a moment to consider the transformation that ought to occur in the life of the born-again believer. You might not know this, but it's here in the book of Ephesians where Paul describes the unrepentant unbeliever as those who are walking in the futility of their minds, and the reason why is because their understanding has been darkened by the spiritual blindness of their immaterial heart. But then the unbeliever, when they finally receive the light of the gospel of God's grace, when they're finally born again, it's at that point in time when we actually become the children of light by faith in the cross of Christ. And now those of us who have become the children of light, we are being called to now shun the sinful desires of our fallen flesh. And yet we need the light of the Lord to be able to expose this secret sin in our hearts so that we can begin to turn away from it. Let's consider how Paul puts it here in Ephesians chapter 5. Look with me there, beginning at verse 8. Here Paul declares, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret." Here in these verses, we find Paul challenging every Christian to realize that we've now become children of light by faith in Jesus Christ. And now we're called to walk in the light of the Lord. And as we walk and live in the light of the Lord, the Holy Spirit then helps us to walk in goodness and righteousness and truth. At the same time, Paul here also challenges the children of light, the born-again believer, to end our fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. He says, have no fellowship. Not have some fellowship. He says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. How do we expose the unfruitful works of darkness? By shining forth the light of the Lord. As we walk in the light of the Lord, the light then emanates from our lives, and just by the nature of who we are, children of light, we begin to expose the darkness around us. Those who maintain their fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, well, they're also going to struggle to see what's hiding in the dark recesses of their immaterial hearts. If you will not come to the light of the Lord, then you're not going to see really what's hidden away in this fallen heart of ours. Conversely, the closer we get to the Lord, the more clearly we're able to see the sins that so easily ensnare us. I want to consider the way that the Apostle John put it in 1 John chapter 1. It's here in verse 5, here John declares, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." God is light. And what this means is that those who draw near to God are getting closer and closer to this source of light. And the closer we get to this source of light, well, the easier it is for us to see our own evil intentions that we still have hidden away in our own immaterial hearts. I don't think that we fully even grasp how wicked our hearts actually are. But the closer we get to God, the more we recognize how evil and wicked our desires, the fleshly desires actually are, and how deceptive our heart is as it attempts to lead us back into sin. And it's for this reason that John says, look, if you say you have fellowship with God, but then continue walking in darkness, you're lying. Don't get mad at me. I'm just reading the mail here. John says, by the power of the Holy Spirit who inspired this text, that if you say you walk with God, if you say you have fellowship with him, but then continue walking in darkness, you're lying and you're not practicing the truth. And it's for this reason that the Apostle John encouraged us to walk in the light of the Lord so that we can also walk in the truth that sets us free from our own depravity. And as we walk in the light of the Lord, he will help us to expose the sins in our own hearts so that we can begin to shun the sinful desires of our fallen flesh. Now, as we begin to wrap up this study, it's important for us to remember that those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've become the children of light. What an incredible truth. That by faith in Jesus Christ, we are no longer children of darkness, but we are children of light. At the same time, though, it's also crucial for every Christian to realize that we can become the children of light, but then fail to properly walk in the light. Therefore, we have to recognize that Christ not only allows us to become children of light, but he also calls us to walk in that light. And as we walk in the light that is God, as we walk in his light, then we begin to discover that the light of the Lord actually helps us to share our faith so that we can help to illuminate those who are still in darkness, so that they might see the light of the Lord and trust in Jesus Christ as well. Not only that, but the light of the Lord will also help us to shift our focus by helping us to fix our focus on those things that are good and of God. And then the light of the Lord also helps us to shun our flesh by exposing the secret sins that we hide away in our hearts. The light of the Lord will help us to see those evil intentions so that we can begin to shun our fallen flesh. To sum it up with simplicity, Christians have been called to live in the light of the Lord so that we can develop into those disciples who are helping others to see the light of the Lord as it emanates from our lives. And then as we allow the light of the Lord to emanate from our lives, we end up becoming those believers who are able to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. And we do this as we illuminate this wicked world with the light of the Lord. Let's pray.